I surrender and submit to you, Lord, that this morning that I would be a conduit of heaven. That I would be a conduit of your will, Father. That I would be a conduit of your Holy Spirit in the earth, Lord. To do as you will. To speak as you will. Thank you for the freedom that we have as sons of God and as children of God. Freedom. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Thank you, Lord, that your Spirit is here. Lord, we surrender our hearts to you this morning and we ask you to come and touch us in a powerful way. In Jesus' name, we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Praise God. Well, it's great to be here this morning. Sometimes I shout a lot. I just want to warn you. Not in a harsh way. I'm not coming here to give out to you or anything like that. But just that I get very excited at times about God. And I came to know the Lord in 1984. And I've been through many ups and downs since then. But I still have a fire for God in my heart. And now and again, that fire overtakes me. And, I can't do anything about that. So bear with me if I do shout a little bit, won't you? Agwan. But if you don't, I'm here to please God rather than man. I'm not here to win popularity, although I do like it, I have to admit. I'd prefer to be liked than not liked, but it's not my goal. Paul the Apostle said, I can't please God and man, I can't please everybody. But I pray that you're touched this morning as we get into the Word of God. Thank you for that very nice introduction, Rob and Patrice. Where's Patrice gone? She's probably busy doing ministry somewhere. What an amazing fella this fella is here. I come in and he's down at the back doing the computers. Then I look up and he's strumming the guitar. Then I hear this boom, boom, this drum beat. And I'm thinking, oh, look, my eyes up for the drummer. And there's Rob doing the drums as well. Come on, guys, you need to be giving this man a bit of a hand, getting in behind him. Talk about a one-man band. My goodness, you see a strong, strong wife in behind him. And just as we were worshiping the Lord, I just saw as like two pillars. Just two pillars in the house of the Lord. And what a great encouragement is to say we've spoken for, I don't know what, half an hour. But I know I'm in a good place. I'm with good people. I can sense the Spirit moving. And not so sure about me, but praise God. I believe that God has called the church to have answers. Answers for the world. Before we can bring healing to others, we firstly need to be healed ourselves. Before we have an outreach, we have to have an inreach, The Lord has shown me that there's many people here. As I've been preparing in prayers, I've never been here before in this church. And I don't know any of you very well. But I know the Lord, and as I've been waiting on the Lord has given me some stuff that I believe is very specifically for you. He showed me that many suffer in one form or another from depression. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it has a different diagnostics on it in terms of what they might call bipolar. Maybe in the past they used to call it manic depression. But for various different types of illness, some people have struggled with it here in one shape or another. Now, what God has showed me in this area is that, in my 20s, I had some bouts of what they called at that time manic depression. And for years I wouldn't share this because I was afraid that the devil might use it against me. Little did I know that he was afraid that I was going to use it against him. Because there's a terrible stigma in this country in relation to depression. Even yesterday we were watching, this Operation Transformation, a celebrity, and Mary Byrne, one of the girls who sung, I don't know if you're familiar with her, but she was talking about her struggles with depression, and somebody else was talking about schizophrenia and how they've been affected. In one area or another, it seems that so many Irish people have been affected either directly or indirectly with mental health issues. And we think, you know, when people come to the church that, you know, all of a sudden, you know, they're free from that, you know. And the textbook says that we are, but how many people know that there's some working out to be done when you come to know the Lord? It's just not a case of pray the sinner's prayer and everything becomes a walk in the park. How many people know that there's some struggles that you encounter as you walk with the Lord? And so I was no different. At 20 years of age, I had been given this diagnostics by a doctor of manic depression. And all I'll say to you, I'm going to make a very short story long and say to you that, you know, you can put a label on something and you can accept that and you can say, well, that's me and I have to live with that. Or you can say, well, you know what? The Word of God says differently. And my God says differently about me than what you're trying to say about me. And some Christians say, well, you can have both. And look, I'm not here to argue, and I'm certainly not here to take a medical stance this morning, and I'm not here to advise against medical people. But what I am here to say is that the medical profession know very little about the spiritual aspect of this particular illness. And God showed me, and over a period of about 15 years, I drew a line in the sand and said, I'm not going to submit to this as a Christian. I don't believe this is my inheritance. Can somebody say amen? Come on now, I'm preaching better than you're amening. But we'll warm up. That's, come on, brother. So I drew a line in the sand and I said, you know what? This thing is not going to defeat me. This thing is not, I'm not going to be pigeonholed because I have a life to live that doesn't include this particular thing in my life. And, you know, God honored that. And what I'm here to tell you this morning is I got the victory many, many years ago. And so can you. Now, there's different types of depression. Sometimes it can be circumstantial. Sometimes you can be going through difficulties in your life, and those difficulties they're real, and that those circumstances can kind of bring you down. Now there's a sort of a normality about that, but the Bible says rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. So what's that talking? That's talking about rejoicing despite our circumstances, so that the joy within us that God has placed there will come up and will become the dominant force in our life, not the circumstance. But then more times than not, you find that people who actually struggle with depression, it's not circumstantial. It's a spiritual force. And you can pray and you can get rid of that spiritual force, or you can come to church and worship and the spiritual force seems to disappear. But on a Monday morning, it seems to come back in through your back door. I'm here to tell you, you can put flight to that for once and for all. You do not have to live subservient to a spirit of depression, to a spirit of oppression. And I'm here to tell you that I'm living testimony of the fact that you can overcome. Somebody should be getting a little bit more excited about that. Come on now. You do not have to be subservient to a spirit of oppression or depression. It's not nowhere in the scripture. And people can say to me, and you see, this is sold by the medical, and I'm not Well, I kind of am coming against the medical in one sense, because they're dealing at it in a purely natural way and coming at it from, you know, the medical and blood and everything else and balance and salts. And they can say, well, you have an imbalance in your system and you need to take lithium and, you know, that'll balance you out. Well, that's fine. But what about the spiritual aspect of it? And if you deal with the spiritual aspect of it, will there still be an imbalance in your salts and so on and so forth? I doubt it very much. And the people who I've known and prayed with and ministered with and seen, and myself, have seen the victory, have seen a complete victory. But there has to come a decision that you decide, do you know what, I'm not going to put up with this any longer. And it may take you 10 years, it may take you 15 years like me, it might take you more. But God can set you free. God can set you free. I'm going to share 4 points with you this morning that are practical, but that will allow you to overcome in this area from Scripture and give you a complete victory. And if this doesn't affect you this morning, take on board these points and be equipped to help others, because the church exists for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, for the building up of the body of Christ. So if you're switching off now, saying, well, the depression doesn't apply to me, I'm never being better, man, what are you talking about? Fine, but listen, I guarantee you there are people who work with you, there are people in your family, there are people in your jobs who suffer. So take on board what I'm saying this morning. Take notes of it. Take Scripture. Do what the Bereans did in the book of Acts. They went away. Don't take my word for it. They studied the Scripture. They prayed and they sought the Lord until they found truth in what was taught. And then and only then did they take it on board. But take it on board this morning, because I tell you, this oppression is over this nation. There's more people living with depression per head of capita in Ireland than any other European country. So let me tell you, if this doesn't affect you directly, it affects somebody about you. And if we're the church, if we're to be the glorious bride without spot or wrinkle, we must have answers for the world. We must have something to give. We must have solutions. We can't just be a church that says, praise the Lord, go to church on Sunday, then Monday we live just the same as everybody else. We have to have something that the world says, I want what she has. I want what he has. Because that's the bride, the glorious bride, without spot or wrinkle. Told you I could get loud, but I hadn't planned that. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. We're going to look at a passage of Scripture that is very, you know, it's expressive of Christianity. It was a prophecy that Jesus later, at the beginning of his ministry, got up in the temple and said, "This is me. This scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing," and all of the Pharisees' mouth dropped open wide. And what's he saying? He's saying he is actually, you know, the Messiah. And he announced the beginning of his ministry. But Isaiah prophesied about this in Isaiah chapter 61. We'll take it up in verse 3. It says, "To grant consolation," I'm reading from the Amplified. So if you're hearing more words than are in your Bible, it's because I'm reading from the Amplified version. It says, "To grant consolation and joy to those who mourn in Zion, to give them an ornament, a garment, or a diadem of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, garments expressive of praise instead of a heavy, burdened, and failing spirit." And that's a picture of depression right there. "That they may be called oaks of righteousness, lofty, strong, magnificent, distinguished for uprightness, justice, and right standing with God, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." Read from the New American Standard. "To grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting, so that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. The devil hates the praises of God. Point number one, praise. Praise will get rid of the devil out of your life quicker than lighting a match in darkness and seeing light coming. He will go out of your life at the speed of light, because light will be ushering him out of your life. Praise. We used to sing that song years ago. I have put on my garments of praise, that a spirit of heaviness has gone from me. When we begin to praise God, when we begin to become thankful to God, the devil doesn't like hanging around. Oppression doesn't like hanging around. Praise is a powerful weapon in the mouth of saints, in the mouth of Christians, because he hates it. I have put on my garments of praise. When you develop an attitude of praise and thankfulness, all of a sudden, things begin to look different. Point number one, praise. The devil hates praises. Point number two, forgiveness. If you have your Bibles with you, again, say, look at Matthew chapter 18. I'll take it up in verse 21. Matthew 18, verse 21. Then Peter came and said, Lord, how often shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? And when shall I forgive him? Up to seven times. And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Continual forgiveness. For this reason, the kingdom of God may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he had begun to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. But since he did not have the means to repay, the Lord commanded him to be sold, along with his wife and his children and all he had, and repayment be made. So the slave fell to the ground and prostrated himself before him, saying, have patience with me, I will repay you everything. And the Lord of the slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. But the slave went out and found one of his fellow servant slaves who owed him 100 denarii. Now I'll just hold it there for a second. If you look back, he was forgiven 10,000 talents. And then he met somebody who owed him 100 denarii. Now I'm an expert in the currency of the day, but it sounds to me like a heck of a lot more money, 100 denarii, than 10,000 talents. And he seized him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe. This is the guy who is forgiven now. So his fellow slave fell to the ground and began to plead with him, saying, have patience with me, I will repay you. But he was unwilling, and he went and threw him into prison. He should pay back all that he owed. So when his fellow slaves saw what happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their lord all that happened. Then summoning him, his lord said to him, you wicked slave. This was the king who forgave him in the first instance. I forgave you all the debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have mercy on your fellow slave in the same way I had mercy on you? And his lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturer until he repay all that was owed him. Now look at the last verse. My heavenly Father will also do the same to you, each of you who does not forgive his brother from his heart. So here you have this guy. He owes a debt that is forgiven. He owes a debt, and it's forgiven by the king. So he goes, thank you very much, king. He goes down the road, and he meets this other guy who owes him much less than he was forgiven. He owes him a less amount. But he won't forgive him, grabs him by the throat, throws him into prison, and says, you're not getting out until you and your family, until you pay me everything you owe me. that just, do you think? But God says, we're the same. If we don't forgive those who've sinned against us, because we've been forgiven a huge debt on the cross, and then we're holding something against somebody else, and somebody says, well, you don't know what's been done to me. And you're right, I don't know. But I know this, that there's no sin that you committed that he won't forgive you of. There's nothing that you have done that he won't forgive you of. Now, I'm speaking to people here this morning. We can play Sunday Christians, and I'm not getting down on you, I'm not saying that you are. But we can, and I have been guilty of this. And on Monday, we go back in and we live just like the world. And there's this saying, and do you ever hear this saying in Ireland, particularly in Dublin, where I'm from? I'll never forgive ya woman. Do you ever hear that? I'll never forgive her for what she did to me. I'll never forgive your man what he done. Do you ever hear that? Commonly used. It's called a bitter root of judgment. And it brings clouds of evil into our life. The Bible says he was handed over to torturers. That's the clearest picture I can see in the New Testament of depression. I can tell you, when God opened my eyes to this, I start forgiving all over the place. Because I saw the key to my health, to my mental health. And praise God, I've been 25 years off all medication, living a life. I don't know what you call it, normal. But I've been living a life free from that. Free from that. In fact, it doesn't even come near me now. Because it knows it's likely to be put underfoot, let us say gracefully. I can use another term, but wait till I get to know you a little bit better. God has given you the victory, but you must follow some of his principles. And one of the major chains that will allow the devil back in through the door on a Monday morning is unforgiveness. After you've worshipped the Lord and you've heard a brother here playing fantastically, worshipping the Lord, praising God, and then on a Monday, I wish I was back in church again. This is terrible. The cloud comes over you. No, I forgive so and so. And I don't mean I forgive your man, you know. I don't think I'm a dig when I say him. I'm not talking about that type of forgiveness. I'm talking about, I forgive them, Lord. I bless them, Lord. I pray for them that they'd come to know you. I pray that you touch their lives, touch their families, touch them in a wonderful way, Lord. Bless their day. Bless their finances. When you can pray like that for somebody, you know that your heart is clean. And you're free. And you're forgiven. Some of you aren't able to. You haven't received your forgiveness. You know in your mind that you're forgiven, but you haven't received it in your heart. You're still carrying the burden of sin. Not in all areas. You've probably been around for a while, however long, different as the different individuals are here. But little arrows get in and they get undealt with, and all of a sudden your heart is weighed down and a cloud comes over your head and you think that you have to live with this. But the good news is Jesus said, I came to bind the brokenhearted, to let the oppressed go free, to give you garments of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness, to give you the oil of joy instead of sadness, garments of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness. Amen. He wants to make you light as a child in your spirit. But he can't when you're still carrying those chains. Those that have hurt you. It's time to cut them loose. Because you're the one that's carrying the pain, not them. Time to let them go loose from your life. See them in your mind's eye. Speak to them and say, you know, what you did was wrong. But I want you to know I forgive you. I release you this day from what you did. And I'm going to go free. As a result, I'm going to walk in the inheritance of all that God bought for me at the cross when he died. Not just part of it, but I'm going to walk in everything. You know, it's not just about I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. It's about inheriting the kingdom. And I'm not saying I'm there. I tell you, I'm a long way off being there. But I can tell you this. I know where I'm going. I'm inheriting all that he bought for me at the cross. And your inheritance, let me tell you without any shadow of a doubt, if you know Jesus Christ today, is to be free from oppression and depression in all of its guises. Point number three, intimacy. I want to talk about a character in the scripture by the name of David. Here was David. He was a mighty leader. He was a powerful leader. He commanded all the armies of Israel at that time. Its borders stretched right across the Middle East. And at that time, the king of Israel was the most powerful man on the planet. David was the king of all Israel. He was looked up to by men because he was a mighty warrior, able to slay giants and go into battle and lead his men. So the men looked up to him. As we say on the north side, he was a good goer. So all the men looked up to him and they'd follow him into battle. The Bible says that David's mighty men would risk their lives just to get him a drink of water. That was the honor and the respect they had for David. He was a skilled musician, so all the arty people would have loved him. He wrote fantastic songs with incredible lyrics of worship, and he put music to them. He was a skilled musician, like our brother here, Rob. He was able to play the harp. So all the arty people loved him. All the women loved him because he was cute. And if you're looking for a scripture reference in that, there's one in Second Samuel. The Bible says he was a handsome man. So the women thought he was the business. He had all the gold that you can think of. So even in the world's eyes, David had it made. He was the man. But he makes this comment in Psalms 42. As the deer, or it says in the Amplified, as the hart pants and longs for the water brooks, so I pant and long for you, O God. So there was a deficiency in David that was made up only by God. Despite all the outward trimmings of success, there was a yearning in his heart for more than he had. And he knew that this desire could be only fulfilled within God. One of the keys to your victory is the key of intimacy with God. Allowing him into your heart to know you. And then for him to reveal himself to you. That's the precious relationship of Christianity. It is the first and foremost. There is nothing higher that you can be called to than that of relationship to the Most High God. There is no high like the Most High. There's nothing that will give you more satisfaction than knowing him. Verse 2 says, my inner self thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I and behold the face of God? So within David, there was a yearning for the face. He wanted to see him. There was a yearning in David to see the face of God. It says in Corinthians, we behold him dimly as in a mirror. I have a picture in my mind of fog on the mirror in the morning when you get out of the shower and you're trying to see yourself and shave yourself. I know John doesn't shave or Rob because they've got nice beards, but for those like us Romans who have to shave, we see in a mirror dimly. We're trying to see the image of God and we see it dimly. But it says, but then, when is then? Face to face. This is the heart of David, that he would behold the face of God. How many people would love to see Jesus face to face? Three. You're either going to sleep on me or you're in the wrong place. How many people would like to see Jesus face to face? That is the central core of Christianity, my friends. If you see him, you will be transformed by the glory of who you see and be like him more and more. Romans 8 says that before the foundations of the earth were, you were predestined to be conformed to his image. How many of us yearn for the face of God? Are we just playing church? Sorry now. I'm going to have to step on a few toes this morning. How many of us yearn for the face of God? Are we just playing church? Are we just coming to fulfill some sort of religious obligation this morning? Are we just coming to church to go and do a thing that we should do? Let me tell you, that's God doesn't want your religiosity this morning. God wants relationship with you. If you don't want to see his face, then you don't want to have relationship with God. That's what you're called to. He's not interested in a religious experience. He wants you to have relationship with him. He wants you to yearn for him like David did. As the deer pants for the water, O Lord, my soul longs after you. When will I see him? When will I see the face of God? There is a passion in my heart for him that goes beyond Christianity, churchianity. It's a pure relationship. I yearn for him. And let me tell you, the Bible says, blessed is he who hungers and thirsts for righteousness, for he will be satisfied. Are you hungry this morning? Are you hungry this morning? Or did you just come to play church? Because God is in the house. God has come to meet with you if you will take the invitation and stop living a defeated life, but come and become a victorious Christian, one who knows their God. David was such a man as this. The Bible says those who know their God will be mighty and do exploits. David knew that he could do exploits. He defeated a bear. In the outback, he defeated a lion. But it wasn't because he was a great man, a warrior. It was because he knew his God would deliver him. When Goliath taunted the armies of Israel, David said, I'll take him. David, I'll take him. Ha ha. Go on back to the sheep and mind the sheep, David. You're only a young fella. David says, I'll take him. Who is he? Taunting the armies of the living God. I'll take him, Elvin. Now, I'm reading from the Dublin Revised Version. And they put a coat of armor on David. And he said, you know what? This isn't good. This isn't working for me. This is somebody else's. It's not working for me. Many of you here to say, this is not. I'm going to church, but you know, I'm just holding on by the skin of my teeth. I want something that works. This is not working for me. 23, I said, this is not working for me. I went out to the nearest pub, a drink. This is not working. Many people say, it's not working. And Dave said, give me a catapult. And he took down Goliath. Some of you need to take down the giants of your life. But you're fighting in your own strength. God says, I want to give you my strength. Will you come to me? Will you come to me and surrender all like I did at the cross? Will you surrender all? That's what he's requiring. Because beyond the cross is resurrection, life and power. Victory for every circumstance and situation. Joy, more abundant. I tell you, that's what I'm after. Joy more abundant. Psalm 16, verse 11. You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. Where are we looking for joy? Did you expect to find it here this morning? Find it here. You won't find it there. You'll find it in his presence. And the Bible says that the blood has made a way for you to come into his presence. There is fullness of joy. And in your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. I said, there's no high like the Most High. Point number four. Fear is a chain that links depression in your life. That you have the authority to sever that cord today and for all days be free. Now you may be brave in areas of your life. Maybe if being Irish, I came down and pushed you and you were a male, you'd clatter me. Okay, and so in Ireland, we're quite good at that. But what about when somebody says something to you that's intimidating? That's not your inheritance that you carry fear through life of any description. This is the gospel, guys. This is the gospel. 1 John 4:18, the letter of John 4 and verse 18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfected, but perfected love casts out fear, because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Hebrews 4 and verse 12, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The word of the Lord is a sharp two-edged sword, released through the spoken word. When the word is empowered and infused by the Spirit who indwells you, it will destroy fear and every weapon of the enemy in your life, i.e. the devil. The word of God infused by the Spirit within you, spoken in faith, will destroy fear in your life. I'm not saying I have no fear in my life, but I have a lot less than I used to have. And I can tell you, God can deal with every single fear that you have. Now, I mean, I don't in healing, and I've, you know, heard of the most unusual types of fears that people have. Some of them I found funny, but they weren't funny to the people who had them, you know? And I still have to overcome the one about spiders. I'm okay with that, you know? I'm okay telling you, it's all right to be a bit vulnerable, you know? You know, we used to think the people that stood behind the pulpit were like the untouchables. Never saw any vulnerability about them, you know? But my point is this, that God can set you free from every fear. Fear links depression in your life, brings oppression. It's in the heart, and then it's in the mind. But it's in the heart first. The Bible says, watch over the heart, for from it flow the issues of life. So we need to deal with the heart. We need to understand that what we allow into our heart and what we put out of our heart determines our perception on life and how we live. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21, life and death are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Life and death. You can speak life into a situation, or you can speak death into a situation. You can release words of faith, empowered by the Spirit within you, and you can see strongholds being broken in your life, oppression being broken. When Jesus Christ rose from the dead, when he came out of the tomb, he had been in hell, where he defeated every form of evil that you can think of. And then the stone of the tomb rolled back, and Jesus defeated death itself and came out of the tomb filled with resurrection power. The Bible says in Hebrews that he was firstborn from amongst the dead. If you receive the Spirit of God, you can become a born from the dead. And then you can put your words to life instead of death. You can speak life instead of death. When you begin to speak this out of your mouth, we used to be told, get in the Word. But what about letting the Word get in you? What about speaking it out? Seeing the victory that it brings when you speak it out. Some of the scriptures that I used to confess until I was blue in the face. One of them is from Psalms 27 and verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I be afraid? Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? What will fear do to me? What can man do to me? If God be for me, who can be against us? I'm going to close with a scripture from Timothy. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but love, of power, and of a sound mind. Perfect love has cast out all fear. Perfect love will not reside in the same room as fear. One of us got to leave. My money's on love. Allow the love of God into your heart afresh today, and it will make no room for any fear. Let me close. Father, I thank you for the honor you've given me to speak your word here this morning. Father, I thank you for this people. I thank you, Lord, that your word will not return to you void, but it will accomplish and prosper in all that you sent it forth to do. I pray this morning, Father God, that the word of God would go into people's hearts and break the yokes of oppression, and break, Lord, the chains of darkness, and break every oppression and depression that has plagued their hearts and minds, plagued their lives. Father, I pray that you'd bring, Lord God, a severance from this darkness, Lord God, and bring light and bring deliverance. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd come now and release, Lord God, upon this people, Father, a fresh hope and a day, Lord, where they know, Father God, that God has set them free, and who the Son sets free is free indeed. And Lord, that they no longer have to live a life under the oppressor, because they've been transformed from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of your Son, the kingdom of light. And Lord, I pray that you'd break the chains of bondage that hold people in depression. Break the lies, Lord, that says they have to live under this depression. Lord, you paid for a better life. You paid, Lord God, for a better inheritance. Lord God, in their hearts this morning, let their hearts rise up and say, Lord, we know that we have an inheritance in you, and today we want to lay claim on it. In Jesus' name, I pray. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Hand back over to you, Pastor Rob.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Sean. Let's give it up for Sean. We appreciate you, man. Sean, you won't, at least I assume you don't know this, but over the last 4 weeks, we preached 3 weeks on forgiveness, 1 week on, last week on intimacy and the love of God. And it's just incredible to hear. Just the verses in James are brought to mind. You know where it says, like, don't be just hearers of the word and then, but be doers. Don't just hear it and then go away. It's like being a man who looks in the mirror and then goes away and forgets what he looks like. And if we've, if the Lord in his orchestration has had us 4 weeks looking at certain stuff and then it comes again from an outside source again on Sunday morning, it's like the Lord saying to us, don't just be hearers of that stuff over the last 3 or 4 weeks, yeah? But here's a chance to do it, and here's an application that we fully believe in. And so, Sean, I just affirmed you've heard from God on that. And church, we determine that we take a hold of those things, yeah? Praise, intimacy, the love of God casting out all fear. What was your fourth one? You can't remember. Forgiveness. Oh, yeah, how do I forget about forgiveness? You guys thought you were getting a week off on the forgiveness stuff, man. It's been a long month talking about forgiveness. But those four things, right? There is real tomorrow morning. There is applicable when you wake up in the morning to praise the Lord, to decide again to forgive, to live in a place of intimacy with him, to know and trust in the love of God. When fear comes in, you speak it back into your life. And so we receive that, Sean, and we determine as a church, and I just say as pastor of our church, I release it over us, Lord God, that we commit, Lord, to not just be hearers of the word, but as you reiterate and you repeat, Lord God, you say, Lord, that you have our attention. And that we commit, Lord God, to be doers of your word and to know the breakthrough of living the freedom and living in the grace and the lightness of life that you would have us live in. I just pray over you as God's people, the Lord would bless you and keep you. Lord would cause his face to shine upon you, that he would be gracious to you, that he would lift up his countenance upon you this day, this week, this month. He would give you his peace, the shalom, the fullness, the wholeness of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, guys. Tea and coffee, if you're visiting for the first time, head through this door straight through into the hall, and there's tea and coffee fellowship there. Hang around. Please do say hello to Sean and his family and our visitors from the States as well, guys. But other than that, I will talk to you guys next week.